So we're going to talk this morning about another habit of the heart, which is about prayer. Now, I could talk for 2.5 hours about prayer, if you fancied stopping for 2.5 hours, but I haven't actually got that long, so let's see how we go. I wonder what your idea of prayer is. I wonder what your view of prayer is. I want to suggest that it's a bit like this calculator. It's kind of a useful little thing, isn't it, this calculator? If I can figure out how to turn it on. Oh, there we go. You can do sums on it. You can do sort of useful things on it. If you need to know what 52 times 63 is, it'll tell you 3,276, just in case you're wondering. It's sort of interesting. It's just there. It's sort of a handy little thing. You can keep it about you. You can bring it out and you can tap away. And you can sort of work out things that you need to. It kind of helps. But actually, I mean, it is a marvelous piece of technology, isn't it? I mean, it's incredible, really. It's really good. But it's not that interesting. It doesn't really solve any life problems, that's for sure. It's just something that we use, and we keep tapping away at our calculators to figure out various things if we need to. Quite often we can work out the things that we really need to in our heads anyway, but let's just keep on with the calculator. Now, you just bear with me. I wonder if that's how you feel a little bit about prayer. If that is your idea of prayer, then let me tell you what prayer is really like. It's a bit like this. This is my smartphone, just in case you're wondering. But if this is what your idea of prayer is, then when you come to actual prayer, what you tend to do is get your calculator up, just start tapping away again. That's kind of what prayer is, maybe. Now, there are loads of other nice coloured buttons and things all over the place on this thing, and you think, oh, I wonder what they are. They look kind of interesting, but I don't know. It's a calculator, so let's stick with the calculator. Let's just keep tapping away on our calculator, and that's our view of prayer. This passage from Luke begins by, I've got calculators and phones all over the place, by somebody asking Jesus when they'd watched him pray, saying, Lord, teach us to pray. This is one of his disciples, and just a quote from the book that we're sort of basing our series on, it's the Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. And Richard Foster says about the disciples, the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. They, the disciples, had prayed all their lives. They were Jewish folk, right? They were brought up in an atmosphere of prayer. They knew what prayer was, or at least they thought they knew. And yet something about the quality and quantity of Jesus' praying caused them to see how little they knew about prayer. It's almost as if they thought prayer was a calculator that they should just keep tapping away on, when Jesus showed them that prayer is much more like a smartphone. Because with a smartphone, you can do pretty much anything. There's all sorts of things on here. You can find out what the weather's going to be. You can practice your guitar. You can roll a dice. You can order your pharmaceuticals. You can even check how much you owe BT and all those sorts of things. You can almost, if you want, you can run your whole life, if that's what you really want, from one of these. And there's a sense in which, as we approach prayer, we're at this stage, and we really have a yearning to be at this stage. There's a sense in which we sort of press on with what we think prayer is, and yet we've a sense deep down somewhere that prayer could be so much more than what we currently experience. Richard Foster himself decided to cut and paste all the passages about prayer from the Gospels and put them into one big document, I suppose, so that everything else was taken away and he could just focus on what particularly Jesus said about prayer. And he read the whole lot through, just from top to bottom. What did Jesus say about prayer? And what did he say? He said, "I was shocked." I'm not going to tell you about the rest of the chapter, because if you're interested in the book, then I really recommend it, at least the bits that I've read so far. There's a sense of longing, which is where our passage starts this morning. The disciples saw Jesus praying and thought, "Hang on a minute, I thought I knew what prayer was, but actually I have no idea." And what we have in Luke 11 is just one of those words that Richard Foster would have cut and pasted into his document. So my idea this morning is just to look at a few of the teachings from this Luke 11 and maybe get an idea of maybe what I mean by what is the smartphone of prayer. It's just 13 verses and it's divided up into four paragraphs, really. So let's just take each paragraph as we go. The first paragraph, bearing in mind we're talking about the smartphone of prayer, the first paragraph, which we know as the Lord's Prayer, is really a review of features. You know, when you get some new piece of technology, particularly these days, you tend to get a review of features. We had to have a new BT box this week. We've had ours for donkey's years, and it was just about, well, it had given up. It wouldn't even switch on. So I managed to get a new one from BT, set it all up, plug it all in, and wait for it to do whatever it does. And as we were waiting for it, suddenly this video comes up on the screen of a celebrity, a well-known celebrity who's obviously in need of work, I suppose. And he was sort of running through all the marvellous things that this box does, which, of course, most of us don't take any notice of at all, do we? And then we sort of struggle afterwards to wonder what it is that actually we can do. By the end of this video, it turned out we only got 290 TV channels available to us. So, I mean, that's terrible, isn't it? But it's a review of the features of the box. And in some ways, what Jesus is doing when he does this prayer that we just tend to just take out and just say from beginning to end without often thinking about any of it, it's kind of a review of the features, or some of the features, about prayer. It starts off, and this is the Luke version, which actually is slightly shorter than the one that we're familiar with, the one that we tend to use in Matthew. But this is the Luke version, and it just starts off, "Father." And what is that? It's basically giving us an understanding of who God is and how I relate to him. Father. And actually, if you think about it, that's really important. That's a real basis of what prayer is. We're not just talking into the sky. We're not just talking to somebody who may or may not listen, but we're talking to Father. Then the next line, "Hallowed be your name." So what is that? It's actually an understanding of who God is and how I can respond to the wonder of who God is in praise and worship, and just to be taken up with who God is in my life, and just to be able to give out back something of joy, something of the wonder of that relationship. Then he goes on to say, your kingdom come. And what is that? Well, as I see it, it's an understanding of who God is and what he wants for the church and for the world. He wants his kingdom to come. He wants his rule to expand, not only in my own life, but in all of our lives, in all of the lives of the people that we know, in all of the lives of the people that are out there. He wants, that's the tidal wave of God's plan and will in our lives today. Then he goes on to say, give us each day our daily bread. Wonder what that is. Well, I think it's so that we can understand who God is and how he has supplied all my needs. Isn't that a wonderful place to sit? I wonder if we really had hold of that, how our praying might change. Then he goes on to say, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. I wonder what that is. I think it's an understanding of who God is. And it's the basis of our relationship that I can enjoy with him and others. A basis of forgiveness, a basis of openness, a basis of acknowledgement. We've just been acknowledging, haven't we, that we're all sinful. But it's not just a question of coming to him and making an act of penitence. It's a joyful and solemn exposing of ourselves in humility and in honesty before the God who has sent his Son to redeem us completely. And then it says, and lead us not into temptation. What's that about? I think it's an understanding of who God is and how he protects us and how he leads us and how we're in his hands all the time. Wow, these are some of the features of what our prayer life could be. Maybe I should say should be, but I don't want to keep going about what we should be doing. We can say about what we should be doing all the time. I can always tell myself, well, you should have done this or you should have done that. But I just want us to get a glimpse of what it could be. I want us to see the fullness of this, not only this thing called prayer that God has placed into our hands, but the whole of the wonderful relationship that underpins it, which Pete's already told us about, that our prayer is basically based on the relationship that we have with God and our awareness of what that relationship is. So the second paragraph is this parable, I suppose you'd call it, about the friend at midnight. In terms of the smartphone of prayer, I say it's that little phrase, use it or lose it. I used to be in computers. I know that's an amazing thing for some people to think, but I did used to be a computer programmer once upon a time. And we always used to learn different bits of software and how to use it. But if you went on a course and you learnt it and you never did anything with it and you came back to it 6 months later, when by the time they got their finger sorted out as to when we could actually do the job that required that piece of software, we'd just forgotten all about it and what to do with it, and we just sort of muddled through. Because basically, you have to exercise something in order to grow familiar with it. This business about the friend at midnight is Jesus saying, exercise this prayer and keep on exercising this sense of communication with God. Don't stop. Even when it seems like a hopeless situation, when it seems like God is maybe silent or whatever, he says, keep going. And the NIV uses this little phrase, because of your shameless audacity. That's a strange phrase to use about prayer, is it not? Do we have a sense of shameless audacity when we ask God about stuff? Most of the time my answer for that is no. And yet here it seems to me God is encouraging that kind of attitude when we come before him in prayer. Some of the most effective prayers, I guess, that I've ever heard from other people have been when they've been in situations of desperation. And all the clutter and all the stuff around prayer just drops away. And they've given in their prayer their own heart. I think that's what God is looking for from all of us. He wants us in our prayer to display our own heart back to him. And we can do that because we know and we understand who God really is. The third paragraph, I'm calling it a capability demonstration. You know, some of these folk on technology devices, you say, oh, what does this do? Or how do I do that? And they go, oh yeah, it goes this, 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 and this. And the fingers go like mad over the screen and you just can't follow them because they're doing everything so quickly. And they've done it all. And wow, they've done a fantastic job. And it's kind of like, unfortunately for me, I tend to get left behind on those sorts of things these days. But they've done a brilliant job of demonstrating what this device or whatever can actually do. And this is sort of what this third paragraph is going on about. Jesus is talking about asking. He's talking about seeking. He's talking about knocking. Three tools in prayer that that are available to us. So I think we're quite good at asking. That seems to be the number one thing that we do in prayer, or certainly that's where I'm at anyway. What about seeking? What about knocking? What does that mean? What is it to knock on a door? To knock on a door is to ask permission to go through the door or whatever, to go in or to see the person. It's about more than just trying something. It's about seeking permission. Now, what is it that God wants us to knock on the door for? Not just to get a result, not just, as he says, so that we can receive, not just so that we can find, not just that we can sense of that we can open something, but there's a tremendous sense of scope in prayer. Wow, this is actually huge. This whole thing is massive. This tool that we've been given can affect anything, everything, me, you, everybody out there. The last paragraph, which of you fathers, etc., asks for a fish, give him a snake, etc., etc. It's kind of like a product reassurance, isn't it? Or a product confidence. You buy something and then they send you a load of emails to say, oh, thank you very much for buying this thing. This is an amazing tool. We're really pleased that you bought this for us, from us. In this kind of a sense, this is what Jesus is saying as well. He's saying this actually does work. This prayer thing really works. Because you imagine that you were being asked for something. Your son asked you for something. You give it to them. He's pointing to the model of a father, which of course he begins his prayer with. And I know that not all of us perhaps have had the same experiences of our fathers, but Jesus is very careful to talk about our Father in heaven. And that's different often from the experience of a father on earth, a father in heaven for whom all these things are true. Wow, one more feature of the smartphone of prayer. And if you have an idea that prayer is just a bit like a calculator, then this might be a bit of a shock. Let's see if I can get it right. Oh, someone's ringing me. Do you like my ringtone? That's my ringtone, by the way, in case anybody was wondering. Maybe I should have put it to a phone thing, but that's my ringtone. Someone's ringing. Hang on a second. I thought prayer was just tapping away on a calculator. I thought it was just doing my duty. Let's shut that thing up. What do you do if suddenly God speaks to you? What do you do if suddenly you're just busy tapping away and God puts a word into your heart in prayer? I wonder how many of us believe that's possible. We'd like to think it was, but I wonder if we actually believe that that's possible, that God can speak to us, that God can give us, to use the same sort of language, a download of his word somehow or other into our hearts in prayer. I wonder how many of us have had that experience over the past week. I wonder how many of us have that experience on a regular basis. See, I think that's and I mention this feature because I think Jesus, in his teaching here and in everywhere else, kind of assumes that we know that happens. He kind of assumes that prayer is about a living relationship. It's about a two-way communication. So often he goes off, as the Gospels tell us, to a quiet place. And then when the disciples found him, he said, well, we've got to move on. We've got to go to other villages. Has he just decided that? Or has he spent time in prayer and received from God something really specific? Something that says, now's the time to move on to the next place. I think if we can see prayer in that aspect, that the whole of Jesus' life is bathed in that kind of prayer. So what would it be like to receive something like that from God? What might he ask us to do? Is the question that so often comes up. That could be quite scary, couldn't it? What might he ask us to do? Could ask us to do anything. And then what do we do? And then we either fight against him or are obedient. What might he ask us to pray? And I think this connects with this idea of seeking and knocking. You see, we all have prayer concerns for people. But maybe God wants to speak to us about that prayer concern. Maybe he wants us to not just remember that person before him, as we often do, but maybe he wants to speak a living word into our hearts about that person or about that situation, which changes our prayer, transforms our prayer from, oh Lord, I just remember such and such before you, to, Lord, I've got a sense that this person is being held back by such and such, and I want to pray against that. And that's a totally different sort of prayer. So that's what I'm going to leave with you. I want you to ask you to review your own prayer life. Is your prayer a bit like this? Or is it like this? Is there a sense of, yeah, I'm praying, I'm in touch with the Lord, but I just want something more from this? I just want a sense that it's something that the Lord, you want to give to us, that's so much bigger than where I'm at right now. And behind that, where's your relationship with God at? Because that's what, as we've said, that's what underpins it all. And what are my expectations of God? Do I really expect him to respond? Do I really expect him to draw me in and through? Do I really expect him to fill me with his spirit so that goodness knows what might happen? I just ask you to take that away and think about it. And maybe if this illustration of a calculator and a smartphone is helpful, then allow that to sit in your mind for a little while. Allow God to speak and to stir us up into the fullness of what it is that he has for us in prayer. Amen. Pete's going to lead us in our closing hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus. Thank you, Pete.